Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And away we go. Fantasy Sports Today right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. FNTSY. Dan Schaffer, George Kurtz with you. The next 2 hours, getting ready for week number 7. In the NFL. George, how are you on this Saturday morning?
So far, so good. I was not a Chubb winner. How about that? Okay, so I'm not perfect. You know, playing, I think it was 8 leagues. Check them all. No Nick Chubb for me.
There is one of those moments where that player comes available in fantasy football and everyone runs the waiver. Whether you're fab or even just straight waivers or first come, first serve. And you see it happen on Twitter. You see people freak out about it. And this is where we'll start off the show, talking about that Carlos Hyde trade to Jacksonville and the fallout there in Cleveland. I'm of the mind, George, that there was no indication that Nick Chubb was going to get significant time this season. Now, you can point to other backs, rookie backs or young backs that have been brought along slowly. I just don't trust Hugh Jackson. And that's honestly where I come down on. I'm not really knowing what Chubb was going to do. So in a 12-team redraft league 3 weeks ago, if Chubb was out there on the waiver wire and you're looking back, as our buddy Steve G over there on Twitter is, I see that as, hey, you were doing what you were doing to try to win that week. And trying to predict out that Nick Chubb would be a lead back 3 weeks later because of a trade is a very hard thing to do. But now we're here, and it does seem as though Chubb should be the way they've used Duke Johnson has been limited. Chubb has shown, obviously, that one big game, 3 carries over 100 yards, that he has the skill set that could be successful in the NFL. But I want to start on the other side of it, actually. How concerned are you about Leonard Fournette, that the Jacksonville Jaguars went out and picked up yet another running back to pair with T.J. Yeldon? Do you think this is a more significant injury to Fournette, and Fournette owners should be a little bit scared about what could come next?
Well, I think you have to be. We're sort of reading tea leaves here, right? Why go out and acquire another back? Granted, it was cheap. Like Ajayi last year, this was cheap, fifth-round pick. You know, I think when Adam Schefter reported it yesterday, and you know, I see it on Twitter right away, and I'm waiting for the compensation. And you're going through your mind what it could possibly be. You know, third-round pick, you know, maybe a conditional, you know, and fifth-round pick, really? That's it? You know, I know NFL teams guard their picks like it's state gold, but come on, the fifth-round pick, you got Carlos Hyde. Yeah, I mean, you're going to make that deal over time. So I was surprised it was that cheap, because the first thing that went through my mind, Dan, was, oh, Fournette must be really hurt. For them to acquire another running back, because you think about it, all right, you're playing Sunday, right? You got a game Sunday, you got a game next week, but then you got to buy. You know, I would think worst case scenario is Fournette's only missing 2 more games. And right now, I might hold him out 2 more games no matter what. Even if I thought he was going to be healthy, if I'm Doug Marone, I thought he was healthy enough to play next week, I'm holding him out. Yep. You know, you're pretty much getting him a month's rest now. But you acquire Hyde. You know, it makes me think there's something, well, they either Fournette's going to be out longer than we think, or they don't believe he can stay healthy. And maybe that's the case, where he'll be healthy, but he's injury prone. He's going to get banged up again. And they're covering their bases there. But then you think, cheap price, so it didn't matter anyway. It's still a good player here. Maybe they're worried about Yeldon. He can't stay healthy either. Or he's just not very good. You know, it could be a combination of all of this. And right now, I think one thing they do realize is that Bortles can't get it done. Yeah, he's not one of these quarterbacks who can win a game without a running game. He needs a strong running game to get it done. Yeah, Jacksonville, listen, in my mind, I said it last year, they screwed up by signing Bortles and not going out and getting a free agent quarterback, specifically Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I said it many times in these shows. I thought they should have gone out with that defense, with a good running game, go out and get the best quarterback. You know, not that I'm the best quarterback available is what I should say. And that's what Kirk Cousins was. I thought they made a huge mistake not making a stronger play for him.
It's I think all that makes a ton of sense. So everyone knows, pretty straightforward here. TJ Yeldon still in play this week, but as we go forward, Yeldon and Hyde should conceivably split carries, and that takes away from the bell cow nature of Yeldon while he fills in for Fournette, which is going to hurt his season-long perspective and his DFS perspective. On the other side, I'll say again, I don't fully trust Hugh Jackson. I don't fully trust that this is going to be the Nick Chubb show from here on out. Duke Johnson's still in that backfield. I know he hasn't been utilized, but this feels like the fantasy football gods will have Duke Johnson go 20 carries and 10 targets next game just to really screw with everyone's brains. But where do you put Chubb in sort of rankings or projections rest of season? Is he the difference maker? Is he the guy that when we look back at the end of the season, look at teams that won championships or made it to the playoffs, the acquisition of Nick Chubb will really be one of the determining factors there?
Well, I mean, you look at it. What's the worst case scenario? Running back two? That's pretty much what the worst case scenario is. High end running back two at that. Starting running back just became available, which we just don't see. In fantasy, we just don't see this very often. But it's, this is why all of us were scrambling towards the waiver wire yesterday. I imagine the first thing I did when I heard is I checked all my leagues. By any chance, is he out there? And he wasn't. And he was drafted in all leagues. That's why he wasn't a gift because he was on someone's team there. But whoever team he's on did get a gift. So good for you. I think he's a high-end running back, too, no matter almost baseline. You know, is there a chance he can go a little better, end up becoming running back one? Sure. Could he be worse? Absolutely. The Cleveland schedule is not all that daunting where you're worried about them playing strong run defense. I mean, hell, they're playing Tampa Bay tomorrow. You know, and that's a great matchup there. So good for Chubb and good for his owners because I think he just got a gift.
We have another injury that could have led to some waiver wire pickups with Marshawn Lynch out for what is said to be a month. Could be longer, could be somewhat shorter, but that brings up the question of another coach that I don't trust at all, and John Gruden. I think you're sensing a trend here, but what they'll do in the backfield there in Oakland, what do you think? Who emerges there? You have a couple of different choices. Do you think we see the better athlete, the better skill set, or do we see the veteran who has had effusive praise over the course of summer camp from the head coach?
Well, I mean, with Oakland, you think this. All right, it looks like Lynch is out at least a month, which means they're a bye this week. It'll be 2 weeks. Maybe he misses two games, assuming they're telling the truth. I've also heard rumors that he can go on IR, so keep that in mind as well. Martin, more your traditional back. Jalen Richard, PPR back. The problem is this. What hurts Martin is, does anyone not think Oakland's going to be trailing in most games?
Right.
Bad team. Traditional back, not going to run the ball that much. Can't run when you're down 17 points in the third quarter. So that means Jalen Richard. PPR leagues, I think Richard is more valuable. He's the guy I'd want. He'll catch some passes. I'm not dying for either one, mind you. I mean, most weeks, depending on matchups, maybe one is a low-end running back too. But I think they're both more flex guys. I think Jalen Richard is a poor man's Tariq Cohen. You know, that kind of a James White. He'll catch some balls out of the backfield, but nowhere near as dynamic. So that's what you're looking at there. And once the buys are over, I don't think you'd want either one of these guys. They both have value. Starting running backs have value. You know, what's the joke I like to say? Any running back with a pulse has value. It's fantasy. We don't have enough. Bye weeks are coming, and we're getting more and more teams on bye each week. So they have value, but it's not immense. Once again, should you be running out to your waiver wire? Absolutely. I did again. I play in a lot of deep leagues. Any running back has value. And I was able to get Martin and or Richard in a league or two. So that made me feel a little better. I felt a little better last night, but not perfect because I couldn't get Chubb. So, yes, I'd want in a PPR, Dan, I'm going at the Richards first. I think he's the guy I want there. Martin would be a fullback.
Makes sense to me. Don't forget there is a London game that is not in line with the 1 p.m. So it's a 9:30 start on Sunday morning, Tennessee and the Chargers. So setting lineups, you have anybody in those games, just keep that back of mind to make sure you're not caught a little bit surprised there, honestly. Let's talk about Mike McCoy. Now, many, many people have pointed out that the offensive coordinator and the offensive game plan out there in Arizona has not looked to utilize their best asset, David Johnson, the way we've seen in the past, getting him outside, plenty of targets, Lots of runs up the middle. Lots of runs between the tackles. And there have been many, and not just fantasy analysts, but football fans and football analysts who have been calling for McCoy to be fired. And it's funny because he's done a decent job in different stops. Obviously, with the time with the Chargers, I don't know what to make of the way they're running out this offense, if Byron Leftwich is really going to make a huge difference because of the lack of talent on that offensive line. What do you think, though, about David Johnson rest of season? Is this a guy that you think is going to bounce back and have a second half that mimics his previous outputs? Or is this just such a bad team that while he may get some better play calls, he's still going to struggle to be as dynamic as we've seen in the past?
I mean, listen, McCoy is the scapegoat. We all, I assume most of us watched that game Thursday night. That was an abomination. I mean, that was just terrible how bad the Cardinals looked. But he's a scapegoat. Sure. Now, I do agree that not getting the ball to David Johnson on the outside is a joke. You know, whether it's on sweeps or, you know, throwing the ball to him. What are you doing? I mean, he's your only offensive talent on that team, and you're not getting on the ball. That made no sense. So that alone, it could be a fireable offense. But other than that, I mean, where's the talent on this team? I mean, really, where's the talent? You got a rookie quarterback with no one to throw to. Fitzgerald's a shell of his Hall of Fame self. You know, Christian Kirk, okay, looks like he could be a nice wide receiver too one day. You know, they don't have a tight end. Ricky Seals-Jones is blah. You know, the offensive line is putrid. And where's the talent? I don't know if Don Coryell could have done anything with this team, with his offense. I really don't. So, you know, for you young listeners, he's a very top offensive coordinator back in the day and head coach. I just don't know where the talent is, where anybody could have done. But once again, we see this all the time. Who gets fired first? The coordinators, because someone's, you know, they're crying. Everyone's crying for blood. And you're going to fire the coordinator first, and then generally the coach is next. Granted, it's early. Just, seven games to his tenure, but that's generally where these things go. But I don't know if anybody could have done anything different right now. This team is a vast wasteland as far as offense is concerned here. But you played poorly, national TV, got a 10-day break. Someone was going to pay the price. McCoy did.
So do you think we get anything more out of David Johnson, or is it is what it is at this point? It's just going to be a sort of RB2 stat line from a RB1 talent.
Oh, I mean, Byron Leftwich has taken over, and he's never been a coordinator anywhere before, never called plays before. But he is somebody that a lot of people were considering an up-and-comer, that he was going to be the next big thing. So I guess, you know, it can't get any worse, right? Can't get any worse. You have to think they'll get the ball to David Johnson. The problem is, you know, and this is what I saw, you know, getting a lot of questions last week, whether it be on the Roto Expert Slack channel or my Twitter or whatever, radio shows, about, you know, the Broncos, hey, they would give it back-to-back 200-plus yards rushing to running backs. You know, David Johnson's going to have a big week. It was like, well, no, because, yeah, granted, you know, the Jets, Crowell had over 200-plus yards against the Broncos, and then, you know, Todd Gurley goes bananas. Gurley's in a class of his own anyway. But the problem is, say it again, you know, that the Broncos knew the only offensive weapon they were worried about was David Johnson? So they're going to have eight men in the box all the time. They're going to have somebody looking. They're always going to be looking to stop Johnson and force anybody else to beat them. Just wasn't the same situation there. So I have to think they're going to have the offensive game plan. There should be two offensive game plans for the Cardinals. One, yeah, getting Rosen to be better, right? I mean, you're building him up for the years to come. This season's gone. So all you want to do is, I guess extend or accelerate his learning. Do whatever is best for him. Second, the offense has to revolve around Johnson. I mean, revolve around. He's not running. He should be probably first look on most pass plays. Get the ball to him in space. I mean, this is not genius here. You know, maybe genius had to get him open, but it's not a genius as far as what you want to do with the football. You want to get it to Johnson. He is your playmaker there. Use him.
Pretty crazy. It's just, and I know, a very frustrating experience for fantasy owners, for Cardinals fans, to have probably gone, what, top six pick for David Johnson, maybe top eight, depending on the kind of league you're in. I don't remember exactly what his ADP was when the season started, but you are languishing there when you're not getting the output. He has scored some touchdowns, which mitigates a little bit of the hurt here from him not getting the ball in space and being able to do what he's done in the past, but just not nearly that big upside we've seen from David Johnson to point out and sort of drive home George's point about the Arizona Cardinals offensive line over at profootballfocus.com. And this is a free in front of the paywall article. They break down each week the offensive line rankings. And the Cardinals currently ranked 31st out of 32 teams. The Houston Texans are only ranked behind them. And the article points out that their center, Mason Cole, has given up 13 pressures allowed on the season. That's second most among centers in the NFL. So that's the one point they chose to highlight here. But it has just been an abysmal offensive line. And we talked about it at length that when you have a running back, great, mediocre, poor, an offensive line can do a lot to make a poor running back look good, a good running back look great, and a great running back look untouchable. And so here you have David Johnson really struggling behind this offensive line. We have a lot to get to here on this show. As always, we're going to go game by game in week 7, break down who should start, who should sit. We'll look at that London game first on the other side of this upcoming break, and we'll be sure to break that one down for you so you can make some early decisions there. We have a pullout. Favorite QB for a GPP, talking, of course, DFS there. We have 4 choices. If someone you like is not listed there, feel free to reply. Cam Newton comes to mind as somebody not listed, but plenty to get to here on this show. As always, find us over on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. We'll open up the phone lines in the second hour, 844-843-6879. Find George on Twitter at George Kurtz. Find me at Dan Strafford. Plenty to get to here on Fantasy Sports Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, FNTSY.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with professionals using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries? Try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups, ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches, and avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps. If you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can receive a 50% deposit bonus. No more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon signup, and choose your matchups using the Props Builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. So, George, we kick off our Week 7 look-ahead with the London game, which has the Tennessee Titans and the Los Angeles Chargers. Chargers -7 here, an over-under set at 45 to open the week, and has not moved from there. Interestingly, both teams have moved slightly, with Tennessee going up by a quarter of a point, Chargers going down by a quarter of a point. The spread has shifted by minus 0.5, so 6.5 for the Chargers, I should say. This game is one that, again, may be off a lot of people's radars if you're more of a DFS player, because it's not on the main slate of DraftKings or FanDuel. But one that obviously has some pieces that may be worthwhile from a season-long perspective, as each and every game gives us something. What do you got here? Is this a game that has some pieces you have on rosters? And what do you think are the proper starts in this contest?
I wonder if the Chargers have a better home field advantage here than they do when they play in Los Angeles. It's the first thing that comes through my mind here. Game's in England, so remember, everybody set your lineups tomorrow early, 9:30 start. Eastern time, that is. So once again, make sure you check your lineups and your league rules. Does everyone have to be set by 9:30 or just your Chargers and Titan players? So check that. Different leagues have different rules there. I like the England starts when they start at 9:30. You know, I don't mind waking up. I generally get up at 9 o'clock on a football Sunday anyway, so I'll get up at 8. You know, hit the gym and then start my day. So I kind of enjoy these games.
Oh, look at you, hit the gym. Look at this guy.
I am married with children, Dan, okay? The only free time I have each day is that hour at the gym where I can read, Look at this. This is the music. Read a paper. Do a little workout and feel good about myself. And then go home, like, have an egg sandwich and kill that, you know, eggs, bacon. and feel good about eating that, too. So that's how, yeah, that is how I start my, actually how I start most days. So, yay me. So I enjoy it. You know, you watch the game, you watch your, if you, whatever pregame show you like. For me, I tend to watch the ESPN shows, more the fantasy football now than Countdown. I think they just give better information. But, so that's how I do it. And Titans, Chargers, England. Generally, the games in England aren't offensive showcases. You know, the field is really not up to NFL standards. It gets chewed up pretty easily. It's also damp and wet and shocking. I know it rains in England a lot. So the field generally isn't in the greatest of shape. That always worries me here. Still, Chargers are the better team here. I wonder if Chargers might be starting to become the best team in the AFC, especially with Joey Bosa coming back. Looks like about somewhere in November, 2 weeks. So good for them. Maybe after the bye week for them. Who are you starting here? I mean, really, you're starting Gordon. You know that. You don't need me to say that.
Right.
You're starting Keenan Allen, too. So it really comes down to everybody else. You know, I think Mike Williams is a better receiver than Ty Williams, but Rivers seems to prefer throwing to Ty. That doesn't mean really Ty that he's, you know, draftable. Tennessee Titans have a good defense. I'm not starting either Williams this week. I'm almost never starting Williams, Mike Williams. Ty Williams, he does have some interest in me sometimes as a flex. Depends on what else is on my roster. Maybe you're crushed with the buys. In which case, you will always start players that we say not to. But in a vacuum, I'm not starting either Williams. Certainly not starting Antonio Gates unless really desperate. Unless you get a touchdown from him, he's worthless. As far as Tennessee is concerned, Deion Lewis? Okay, PPR, I'll start Deion Lewis. I can't see myself having better backs, two or three better backs than him. That's it. Is Henry the biggest bust this year? No, he's certainly top five fantasy LVP. You know, fourth round back who's done nothing, and I mean nothing, this season. Corey Davis, I mean, I don't know if it's him. Is it Marcus Mariota? He's regressed. There's nobody I want in this passing game. I mean, nobody. The only person I'd consider here is Deion Lewis. That's right. It.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. That's the one in the pass game. If you assume this is a game where Tennessee will be trailing, that you would want Deion Lewis because of the disparity in targets over the course of the season. Pretty clear cut that he is the pass catching back here. And Henry's just been really disappointing. How many sacks can we predict for this Chargers defense? Are we talking double digits following up on those 11 sacks last week by the Ravens? Or do you think more like a 5 to 8 range is probably what we'll see?
Well, I'm going to take the under on the 11. I'll take my chances there and feel pretty good about it. I think Mariota will be harassed. I mean, he'll be harassed. But I think they'll fix the offensive line somewhat. Maybe they'll go with max protect because that's a joke. All right, that's just a joke when you get sacked 11 times. I know the Ravens have a good defense. It's not that good. All right, there's not four Lawrence Taylors on that defense. So that shouldn't happen. So they'll fix it somewhat. And you know, Dan, we're making fun of the Titans. They're in first place. They're in first place.
Yeah, I mean, I said that, I think, 2 weeks ago. I was not sure how they were sitting, I think, 3-2 at the time. This is one of those hope and pray they get to 8-8, I think, at this point. This is just a bad football team. I haven't looked at the rest of their season schedule, but it does point out this AFC South is a bit of a mess. Mentioned that the Texans have the worst offensive line in football, according to Pro Football Focus. You have the Jaguars, who we discussed with the Fournette injury and bringing in Carlos Hyde. Indianapolis Colts seem to be dead and buried at the bottom of that division. Can a team – this is an 8-8 division. I think 8-8 wins this division when all is said and done, which is pretty crazy to see. But I don't see any of these teams really making a run to separate themselves from the pack. So maybe the Tennessee Titans are a playoff team, George. Maybe they are a playoff team. And how about parity in the NFL? I'm with you there. I think you mentioned Deion Lewis. That's the one big one for me here on Tennessee side. You made the point on the Chargers side, obviously. Rivers and Gordon and Keenan Allen are all part of your regular starts here without much concern. Any interest from a line perspective? Doesn't seem, 6.5 in favor of the Chargers? Feels like this could be pretty easily a 27-10 game in favor of Los Angeles. Do you like the minus 6.5 over there in England?
I think you have to. Where are the points coming from for the Titans? You know, where are they coming from? I mean, the running game is blah. Passing game is blah. Defense is good, but not, you know, when I took a 2000 Ravens good, where they're going to keep the Chargers to 10, 14 points. Chargers are going to score, I mean, 20 points easy. You know, and I think it'll be more like 24, 27. Where's the points for Tennessee coming? You know, the Chargers are a good team. As mentioned, I think they might be the best team in the AFC overall by the end of the year. They're coming into their own now, and they're going to get better with Joey Bosa. They're getting healthy. So, yeah. I'll take the points. Give me. I'm sorry. I'll give the points. Give me the Chargers.
Yeah, I think it's Chargers and the under is how this one shakes out for me. 45 over under seems like a stretch again, because where is Tennessee getting points from? Where are they actually going to score here? So I would take the -6.5 and under. And we've talked about it many times over. Betting the under isn't nearly as fun because you're sweating until the end of the game because of garbage time and the way these NFL games seem to shake out. But I think that is the way to go on this one. No real contest. Well, I mean, there are contests you can find from a DFS perspective to get some of these players in, but it's not a game that I'm necessarily chasing to want to have in any DFS contest. So we'll let that go and move on. Up next, let's go to Jets-Vikings next. So this is a game that has a 46 over-under. It's opened at 46.5. The Vikings are -3.5 favorite, opened at -3. They've had an implied total whole week of 24.75. The Jets have dropped from 21.75 to 21.25. Obviously, this is a Minnesota defense that George has not lived up to the hype. They've lost a good deal of their defensive line to injury and to personal issues over the course of the season. It's one that could be susceptible to the pass game here, but you are talking about a rookie quarterback on the other side, and Sam Darnold, one that's shown the ability to get it done. He's making passes that have been compared to not other rookie quarterbacks, but more seasoned veterans. How do you see this one? This is an interesting one overall. Vikings much better against the run than the pass. Jets probably can shift between both. Do you see the Jets offensive players as viable here, or do you think this is a week that the Vikings defense gets back on track?
Well, when it comes to the Jets, not big on the running game. The Vikings defense, you mentioned, hasn't been as good as we expected, but the run defense has been. So I have no problem. I'm not saying sit Crowell and Powell, because once again, you have four teams on bye. Tough to do that. But make sure there's no one better on your roster to start over. I don't see big games coming from either one of those two. So that's my problem there. You can throw on Minnesota, but Enuma's out, got the ankle injury. Pryor looks like he's not going to play. You know, that leaves Robbie Anderson and Jermaine Kearse. And Kearse is a pickup this week, because once again, PPR leagues, I think he'll get his share of passes, his share of targets, catch 5-6 balls, get some yards, maybe gets into the end zone. So I do like Kearse this week. I just think he'll just do some damage there. That's really it. You know, I'm not starting Sam Darnold. He wouldn't be the streamer I'd love to get if you got Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Ben that are out. I think there are better streamers out there. You know, Andy Dalton, Baker Mayfield. There's a bunch of quarterbacks you can get. Quarterback is deep. I think you can do better than Darnold this week. But I do think they're going to throw the ball a lot. You know, but I also think Darnold's going to make some mistakes. There'll be some picks. Maybe even a pick six wouldn't shock me here. The Minnesota defense is playing better. Pass defense is playing better than it was the first couple of weeks of the season. So I'd be careful here. Kearse is the one guy outside of Robbie Anderson that I'm interested in starting in this passing game. But bottom line is I'm worried about the run game. And for Minnesota, listen, Cook is out again, which I think if you own Cook and Murray, you're thrilled. All right? Because you don't want to take a chance. You start Cook and he has 10 snaps and he's done. You know, so your Cook is out, fine. You start Murray. If you don't own, if you just own Cook and not Murray, well, that sucks for you. I don't know what's going on with Cook. Yeah, well, it does. You know, it's not, I'm just here to tell the truth, Dan. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything.
I appreciate that.
Sucks for you. I mean, this guy, once again, fantasy bust. You know, one of the bigger busts this year. Maybe he turns it on in the second half. He gets healthy. We see what happens here. But every week we're hearing the same thing. You know, he comes in. Oh, he's going to play. But Monday and Tuesday he's going to play. By Thursday, Friday, he's not. And maybe Minnesota is taking an abundance of caution. Maybe he could have played, but they feel, you know what, we'll keep going to give him rest. We want to make sure he's healthy for the second half, the stretch run, all that. You have to wonder now, you know, they play New Orleans next week. That's a big game. Then Detroit, it's another big game. Then a bye week. You know, is he sitting out the next three games, the next 3 weeks, and then gets healthy for at Chicago in week 11? That's what I'm wondering right now. So it's a concern. Murray is a start for me in this game. Absolutely starts for me. And then again, you have your normal Vikings that start every week. Cousins, Thielen, who may be the best receiver in football. Diggs always starts. Rudolph always starts.
Yeah, I'm same analysis for me from the slot receivers. It's Jermaine Kearse and Adam Thielen are probably two of my favorite DFS plays this week when it comes to this game. I think the matchup for Kearse is fine. I know the injuries in the secondary over there for Minnesota have opened up some holes in the slot. So I like Kearse a lot with the potential. You mentioned five. I think this is a double-digit target game for Kearse with potential double-digit reception just simply because of the matchup and what we'll see out of Sam Darnold. And then on the other side, it's so much fun to watch Adam Thielen play football. It's fun to watch this offense play with Stephon Diggs on the other side. And then you do talk about someone like Laquon Treadwell, who's on this team. And you got so many pieces that can do big things. Kyle Rudolph thrown into the mix there as well. So I think Thielen is a lock in cash games for me in DFS just simply because of the volume and the target share he gets. And this Jets defense should be one that they can pick apart pretty well from the slot. So I like Thielen a lot, and I love Jermaine Kearse this week from the Jets side of the ball. Let's continue. Any wagering here? I don't think it's one that I'm overly comfortable with either the over-under or the spread. I think the Jets could hang in this one, could even win this one if the Vikings defense has similar struggles against the pass that we've seen. Do you have any inkling here on any of these spreads or over-unders in this contest?
I do wish the over-under was about a point, point and a half, to, you know, 1 to 2 points lower. Man, I'd be a lot happier if it was at 44. Because I think it's going over. I do. I think it's going to be somewhat of a high-scoring game because both teams are going to have to throw. And like I said, I pick six. I wouldn't shock me if it's coming. I'm feeling it for some reason tomorrow in this game here. The Vikings are the better team. I wish it was at home for them. I'd feel better because then the points might be a couple of points higher. I have, as you mentioned, I don't feel strongly about this, but I would have the Vikings and the over.
That makes sense. And I like as we talk through these games, George and I looking at what we would do personally, obviously try to give an indication of where we feel more confident in what we'd be doing. And obviously at the end, also talk to George about what wagers he's made already or what he will be locking in. So this is one that would be low down on the totem pole for me of ones I'm locking in or ones that I really want to make, more just a take here that I do think this game shoots out. From a DFS perspective, I'm going to have a few pieces here. So the over would come into play a little bit more for me when looking through that. Okay, let's go next. Let's see, as we go around the NFL looking for the good games, the ones we want to tackle and make sure we talk about. Let's go to New England and Chicago, where I'm sure you saw Bill Belichick was asked about Khalil Mack, and someone mentioned Lawrence Taylor in the same breath, and got probably the most animated reaction you're going to get from Bill Belichick in smacking that down and saying, let's not go there. We're Lawrence Taylor's in a league of his own when it comes to defensive players, and went on from there. Patriots are 4-2. They are tied with the Miami Dolphins for first place in the AFC East. Chicago is 3-2 there in the NFC North with a tie with both the Packers and the Vikings, who we just discussed. Well, I guess you have the ties there for the Packers and the Vikings. Offense could be big here for both sides. You mentioned Tariq Cohen earlier. He's had a nice run over the past couple of weeks with targets. The Patriots defense is not one that really needs to be feared quite yet this season. What do you got in this game?
All right. First of all, Khalil Mack is questionable. So speaking of the Lawrence Taylor, which was a silly comparison, by the way. Taylor's an old world player, once in maybe a lifetime kind of player. So I wouldn't compare him with the two either. So we don't know if Khalil Mack's going to play. So either way, he won't be the Khalil Mack we expect him to be. Because if he was, he could take over this game. New England Patriots offensive line, not the greatest. I mean, when you look at the Patriots, Sony Michel, you're starting. I know he's always listed as questionable on the injury report. I think that's because of the knee injury in the early in the year, but he's going to, you're not going to really worry about that. I'm starting Michel, starting James White. I know we're all pissed off at Gronk. I get it. One red zone target since week one, I'm pissed off at Gronk. You know, or Brady not throwing to Gronk, or the offensive core, Josh McDaniels, we're not calling plays to Gronk, whatever it might be. Still starting him, so stop whining. You don't have a choice there. Edelman starts. Josh Gordon probably starts. I think he's only going to get better and better, but never really be the player he could have been if he didn't have all these issues here. So I think it's your normal starts there. Chicago, you mentioned Cohen. We didn't mention Howard. He's not as big a part of the game plan anymore. He's a problem. Burton goes here. Allen Robinson, I know he's missed some practice time this week. I think those are just veteran maintenance days. He goes as well. And Taylor Gabriel, if you need a spot start, he's someone you can think about as well. A lot of points in this game.
Getting through the 1 o'clock games here on Fantasy Sports Today. Coming back with more on the other side of this break. Don't forget to vote in the poll at FNTSY Radio.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
What goes up must come down. This is a way to rock out on a good song here. Of course, Sean Engel behind the glass for George and I every Saturday morning here on Fantasy Sports Today. Doing a lot of the heavy lifting as always. Appreciate that and deserves the call out for the excellent work on the ones and twos. George, as you were closing out the last segment, talking through the pieces here, what do you make, and you said Jordan Howard seems to be less involved. I would say that Tariq Cohen's role has obviously expanded, and we can see the touches growing and the targets growing. Are you confident that continues to happen, or do you see this just as game script or whatever phrases you want to use over the last 2 weeks that just happened to go his way, or do you see a defining change in the way the Bears are approaching their run game and their pass game with Tariq Cohen?
Well, the Bears punished Howard last week. He fumbled at the goal line. They punished him. Right. Oh, so he didn't touch the ball. Then the good news for Howard was Tariq Cohen did the same damn thing. And then Kenyon Drake did it for Miami. Let's fumble at the goal line day. I guess, you get a fumble, you get a fumble, you get a fumble. Now, I think there is something to what you said, game script. That maybe that was the game plan. In Chicago, as the weather's turning, and we're seeing it now in the Northeast, weather's turning. You got to be able to run the ball. You have to. You're not going to be able to throw the ball down the field. Tomorrow, you probably have to because it's New England. That's the way that that game's going to play. But generally, you're going to have to get Howard more involved here. He looked great the first couple weeks of the season. He was catching balls out of the backfield. We were all excited. And I don't know if there's a player this year that's gone the opposite direction faster than Howard has. Where now we're like, what the hell? Now he can't do anything right. And he can't right now. So it's a problem. Can you bench him? Once it comes down to who else is on your roster. If you're asking me where I have him ranked, I have him ranked as a high-end running back three, which is flex play, man. But who can you start over him? I'm not going to start Frank Gore over him. I'm not going to start Eakler, Ito Smith, no. PPR leagues, Duke Johnson, Deion Lewis, yes. Marlon Mack, yes. Peyton Barber's close. I already said Kuroa I don't like this week. So he's in this mix. And he shouldn't be in this mix. That's what I'm trying to say. He's a better player than this.
Right.
But he is in this mix now, a guy with other guys. Cohen's going to steal some touches now. If Howard doesn't at least get the goal line touches, then we have some issues here. If they can't trust him at the goal line because they're worried about him fumbling, that's going to kill his value. So I'm curious to see what they do tomorrow if they give him another shot.
Yep, this is sort of that make or break week, right? Where the trend becomes the pattern becomes a trend. Where if you get Cohen getting more touches and Howard's not getting those goal line touches like we've seen in the past, that drastically changes his upside. When touchdown equity leaves the building, you're sort of looking at a guy getting 5, 10, maybe 15 touches max, and you need him to break one. And predicting that out and trusting that becomes really, really difficult. You may mention a Rob Gronkowski, and it's been a rough year. He hasn't seen the volume per se and hasn't seen the red zone targets. You do have a Bears team, and this is directly from Evan Silva's write-up over there on Roto World, not pulling any punches. He does an amazing job writing up each game each week. But no tight end to face the Bears has so much as reached 50 yards this season. Although Chicago has given up a tight end touchdown in four straight weeks, they have used double teams against the tight end three times this year. So you may see a double team on Gronkowski. I'd love to predict a Gronkowski breakout here, especially at 6K over on DraftKings. But I don't see it as the week. I see another week of disappointing returns for Gronk, and thus the other pieces could shine here for the New England Patriots. You mentioned Gordon Edelman and the like, but James White is somebody I will go back to week in, week out without any struggle. Though, now that I look at it, I hadn't seen his price tag up to $6,900 on DraftKings. So no longer a cheap alternative there on DK, more priced as a every down play for New England. Let's move on to our next contest, Buffalo and Indy. Can we skip this one, George? Can we just not talk about Buffalo and Indianapolis? Obviously, this is a mess. There are pieces here that obviously are going to be starters in deeper leagues and in some season longs, but what do you got here? Is this play some defenses and get out of town?
You make fun. In a 16-team league, I was ecstatic to be able to grab Derek Anderson.
Sure.
Because, I had Jimmy Garoppolo as my starter. Obviously, he's done for the year. My backup's Derek Carr on bye. So I needed a quarterback. And Nathan Peterman wasn't available, boys and girls. So when they said that Anderson was going to start, man, I just rushed to that waiver wire and placed that bid. And I won him. Very thankful for that. I'm thankful, for any kind of points I can get there. So, in that kind of league, I'm starting Derek Anderson. You're starting LeSean McCoy. Okay, we know that. Even though he hasn't been great, still starting him. You do wonder. Derek Anderson has had some chemistry, has played with Kelvin Benjamin in the past. Maybe. The Indianapolis Colts are a terrible defense. So maybe. Which brings up, by the way, the Indianapolis Colts. I've gotten so many questions this week about streaming Indianapolis. I can't do it. I mean, I just can't. I know the Buffalo Bills offense is not there. It's on a milk carton somewhere. But I don't know if I can start the Colts defense. We know where the Colts defense is. It's in terrible land. And they're horrific. I just don't know if I can pull that trigger against other teams out there. I mean, I'm not saying these are the questions I've gotten, but I would certainly start the Chargers over them. No doubt in my mind. Dallas, I would start over him. I'd probably start in that game. I might start Washington over him as well. I think that game's when we get that, it's a 17-14 game. I'll take my chances out of there. They're ever streaming defense. The bottom line is this: the Colts suck on defense. They do. It's just not there. Are we banking that the Bills' offense is that bad where we could start what might be a bottom five defense, NFL defense in the league over him? I can't do that in fantasy. I just can't do it. I can't pull that trigger, Dan. I just can't. As for the Colts, I mean, T.Y. Hilton's back. He's back. You're starting him. Eric Ebron, you're starting him. I prefer Mack over Hines. Chester Rogers, I mean, I just, the volume's going to be there. We've seen it over and over again. The Colts can't run the ball consistently, so Luck has to throw the ball 50 times. That's not even a joke. It's about what he's averaging, 50 times a game. So the volume's going to be there for Rodgers when he can catch the ball. This man, he has hands of stone. He puts grease on his hands instead of sticking. I don't know what he's doing, but he drops way too many passes. But Luck has no choice but to keep throwing on the ball. Ryan Grant's out. He'll get his opportunities.
This is bless your soul for having Derek Anderson on any roster here in 2018. But I guess
you leave Derek Anderson alone, Dan.
Oh man, he's thrown for 5 touchdowns. Like it's like it is etched in stone that Derek Anderson's QB1 this week. It's gonna be an ugly game. And hey, from a DFS perspective, you want to talk through the idea of Anderson at 4,300 being viable. He he's a cheap option that has the upside to potentially throw 2 or 3 touchdowns, and you probably want to take a swing at what wide receiver or piece you'd want on the other side. I guess it would be a Kelvin Benjamin at 3,500 and hope that they just have some sort of rapport where Benjamin racks up the receptions. This is just ugly. But and T.Y., obviously at 6,200, I think, is going to get plenty of volume on Sunday. Coming off the hamstring injury, I think he's going to be a viable play in DFS as well at 6,200. Let's move on. I don't want to besmirch the name of Derek Anderson any further. I don't want to upset George. Let's go next to Detroit and Miami. The Lions and Miami. Detroit 2-3. Miami Dolphins, the first place Miami Dolphins in the AFC East. We have yet again a Brock Purdy. They're going to rock out with their Brock out. Brock Osweiler under center for the Miami Dolphins. And rumors starting to come out, George, that Ryan Tannehill's future with the team is in doubt. that the injuries have mounted, the price tag isn't worth it, and that this could be his final season in Miami. Not sure if Brock Osweiler is their future plans, but here we are with Osweiler under center again. Can you go that way in a 12-team league? If you're desperate, do you feel confident enough that Osweiler will put up positive points this week?
I know he threw for 380 last week. All right, I think he sold his soul to the devil. I think it was pretty much, you know, midnight he was done. Pumpkin, all that stuff. No. Okay, he's not one of those streaming quarterbacks I'm looking to grab this week. Detroit is coming off a bye. They have a decent defense. Okay, so I think this will be a standard game for Brock. You know, I agree about Tannehill. I've been saying this for years, that Tannehill's not a franchise quarterback there, and they should move on when it was financially feasible to do so. And I think now it is. I think actually they could have done it before this year. You know, I think sometimes it's tough in the NFL, you know. Are you jumping the gun too soon when you make this kind of switch? You go from one quarterback to the next. Have you given him enough time? I understand it's a tough decision here. But with Ryan Tannehill, yeah, injury prone, just never really saw it here. I didn't think he was all that good. Not that he has the greatest weapons around him either, but just didn't see it. I think tomorrow, Detroit, they have traded two problems. One, Kerryon Johnson's a good running back. The problem is Blunt is going to vulture those touchdowns. It limits where you can put Johnson in fantasy. It puts him on that borderline running back two, running back three. When you take away the touchdowns, you know, those goal line touches, it limits his upside, which may be almost nil because he's not going to get those easy scores. He's got to run him in from 10-plus yards out. And quite problem two for Detroit is Marvin Jones. He's no longer the number two there. You know, right. Galladay has supplanted him. And Galladay actually may be the best receiver there. Golden Tate's going to get his catches in PPR. He's still gold. But I much prefer Galladay over Marvin Jones. Miami, I mean, Wilson, Stills, they're big plays. You need them to hit? Fine. If they don't hit, not so much. So they're problems. They're wide receiver threes for me, or flex plays at that. And the running game there is a problem, too. I mean, Gore and Drake, which one? You know, Drake, we saw him have the tears on the sideline last week. He fumbled at the 6-inch yard line. Gore came to his defense. They're still using Drake. But Gore is still taking away touches. They had a lot of touches at that. They're eating into each other. You know, they're cannibalizing. It's tough to start either one as more than a flex play.
I agree here. I also want to point out that Albert Wilson was one of the big benefactors of Brock Osweiler last week. Saw his targets jump from 6 to 9 and obviously had 6 receptions, 155 yards. And you look at that sort of box score and say, oh, you know, I got to, you know, play him again this week. Two of those scores were off basically check down passes and Wilson did the rest. So you could make the jump and say, oh, you know, Wilson's skill set, he's very, you know, fast or, you know, elusive. So I'm going to go back to him. I just want to caution that 4K on DraftKings, you can take that risk, but it does seem like he is a low level, wide receiver 3 or 4, you know, or flex, whatever you want to talk about there, at best from a season long perspective. And I wouldn't read too much into 1 week sample here for the Miami Dolphins. Again, if it happens again this week and we start to talk about, you know, the chemistry between Brock Osweiler and Albert Wilson, one, shoot me, but two, then you can start to discuss whether or not he is more viable as the season moves along. But just want to throw that little bit of water on that fire from Wilson from last week. A little bit of caution there. Let's move on to our next game. We talked to Jets and Minnesota already. Carolina and Philadelphia. Philadelphia at 3-3. Carolina at 3-2. Taking a look here across the betting lines. 44.5 over under is the live total I'm seeing right now. You have the Eagles favored at -5. It opened at -4. This game in Philadelphia, Carson Wentz getting healthier each week. You do see a fairly cheap Cam Newton on DraftKings as a potential play simply because of his floor with rushing the ball. What do you got here? This could be a fun sort of knock him down, drag it out sort of defensive game, or we could see some skill players really step up. What do you got in this one?
I think this will be a football game. And what I mean by that is you won't see the offense, you know, it won't be a 41-38 game and obviously go bananas here. I think it's going to be a football game. Both teams have good defenses, good offenses. So it should be a fun game to watch, and it's an important game in the NFC. The Eagles are 3-3. I don't know what the Carolina record is offhand, but they're right around that as well. It's a big game for both teams. I think the 3-2 offhand. So it's a big game for both teams. Carolina probably still upset they didn't pull out that last-second victory over Washington last week. So good game here. You're starting both quarterbacks, right? You said it, and I agree. Wentz is starting to look like the Wentz we've come to expect. You're shaking off that rust, playing better now. Carolina, really, it's you're starting CMC, you're starting Cam Newton. You're probably starting Funchess in most leagues. He's at least a wide receiver three flex play for you. That's it. I don't have anybody else in Carolina. I don't think I'll have anybody else most weeks there. You want to bank on more? Good luck. Some weeks you're going to get it, some weeks you're not. Philadelphia. The running game's a problem. Smallwood, Clement. I mean, who do you like? Who don't you like there? It's a passing team. We know Doug Peterson likes to spread the ball around to both running backs, so they'll both get some play there. Neither one's more than a running back three flex play. Jeffries, the receiver, he's come back and he's scoring touchdowns. Wentz is looking for him. Aguilar doesn't look to be the same player he was last year. Yeah, we're just catching all those passes. Maybe that'll happen. Maybe it won't. But I'm starting Jeffrey over Aguilar pretty easily here. It's not even really a decision make point there. I think it comes down to, are you starting Aguilar at all? Yeah, I know. Who's on your roster? Who can you start above him? He's far from a must start for me. Once again, flex play there. And Ertz is starting. So it's funny. For really two good teams, there's not really, in my mind, a whole lot of fantasy decisions to make here. They either have guys you're definitely starting or guys you're not.
There's obvious plays for Zach Ertz here, who has continued to be the sort of dominant tight end. You've seen his price point jump above, I mean, except for Eric Ebron. I'm kidding. But this is still a good matchup here. 7,100 from a DK price point is a little bit steep to pay for a tight end, but it's a position that's really struggled and one that you can make predictions about Trey Burton or David Njoku or even Rob Gronkowski at a cheaper price point. But if you have a thought here that Ertz struggles, stay away. But it does feel like another good spot for Zach Ertz, and Wentz has continued to target him at a very high volume week over week. So I'll be at least trying to figure out if Ertz makes his way in. Overall here, what's your thought on Cam Newton? Do you see this as a DFS play at a cheaper price point of 5,900, or do you see Philadelphia's defense being good enough to hold him in check?
Well, what's in check? I mean, we know what Cam...
That's a good point.
We know what Cam... His accuracy is lacking. You know, he's never been a very accurate quarterback. What makes him valuable in fantasy is he's going to run generally 40, 60 yards in games. If he gets in the end zone... I mean, think about that. He runs 40 yards a game, gets in the end zone. That's 10 points right there. We're not even talking about his passing yet. So that's why he's valuable in fantasy, because he has a high floor. Even in his bad games, you can almost certainly still going to get double-digit points from him. He throws a couple of touchdowns. Now you're into the 20s, and you're fine. You're golden. So that's where Cam is. Could the Philadelphia defense keep him in check? Linebackers are athletic. They could keep his running in check. They could. Secondary is not very good. You know, that's where Philadelphia can be beat. We've seen that over and over again. And that's where I expect Cam to try to attack them. But his accuracy is iffy. Olsen's back. That helped. It was sort of his BFF there over the middle. But I don't think Olsen's anywhere near the player he used to be. You're starting, Cam. I mean, you are. I can't see how he's not a top 12 quarterback. But he's not a top 5 this week either. He's closer to 12 than he is to 5. But he's still a quarterback 1.
We'll see how this game turns out. Should be a fun one to watch with the two quarterbacks under center there and two different styles of play, but should be a fun one to see. Still plenty to get to here. The rest of the 1 o'clock, and we'll get down to the 4 p.m.s. We'll talk some DFS. We'll take a look at our poll that we put up in the first hour and get some results after this break. Plenty to get to here on Fantasy Sports Day. Dan Strafford, George Kurtz, coming back after this.